Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So we're gonna be in our Bibles today, and so we posted to social media this week. If you have a Bible or the Bible app, we're gonna kind of be journeying through Matthew. But those last two words that Charity read for us, the song that we played just previously to that, kind of give us some hints. But what does Jesus call us to do? To follow, right? And there's a difference, I think, between just following and obeying, because there's this kind of difference. And throughout the four Gospels, over 20 times, this is the call from Jesus. He says, "Come and follow me." Now, if Jesus is saying that that many times, it probably means that something important's happening, right? You know, we know that one of those literary devices when we read scripture is that when stuff starts happening over and over again, it's probably because, number one, we are slow on the uptake, especially if it's hard and we don't like the message. And then two, it's that if it's said over and over again, it's probably pretty important. And so Jesus, over 20 times throughout the Gospels, and some of them are the same stories in the four different Gospels, but you know, there's this kind of repetitiveness of, we recognize that when Jesus says, "Follow me," it's a little bit different. And in fact, literally, "follow me" in the Greek means to share the same road. Isn't that kind of cool? That there's this active engagement, that there's this movement on. And so we have this imagery after the resurrection of Jesus sharing the same road, going to Jerusalem as some of the disciples, talking about and opening up the scriptures, because there is something special that happens when you're walking together, when you're hiking together. Those conversations that you have when you are sharing the same road are pretty important, right? It's almost like it's summertime when you share, you know, time around the campfire. There's conversations around the campfire that come out that don't come out anywhere else. But there is something about that burning wood smell that gets on your clothes and permeates your whole being, that there is special stuff that happens. And so Jesus says, "Follow me." And that doesn't just mean, you know, come and learn what I'm teaching you, but it means be active participants. I'm inviting you into what God is up to in this world. And one of the great student ministry books that I've read made this distinction about being hand holders and finger pointers. Okay, it's a book by Kendra Creasy Dean and a pastor actually in our annual conference, who talks about the ways in which, you know, we are called to be people who are holy hand holders rather than finger pointers. Now, do you know what I mean by finger pointers, right? If you need somebody to do something, you go do that thing over there, and I'm going to stay right here. Go do the things that I'm telling you to do. Accomplish this task. Follow these rules. And I almost feel like maybe that's the kind of the law that we have, is that there can be some distance between us and the law. It's like, just follow these sets of rules. Go over there. Point the direction and just be gone with you. Do the things, right? But this holy handholding is something that invites us into the same road as Jesus. Jesus isn't going to say, "Okay, I need you guys to go do these things, and I'm actually going to take a nap right here." In fact, you know, what we see is that Jesus isn't that one that says, "Okay, disciples, I am super holy, and you are super not. So I'm going to get the best spot, and you're going to get the spot that that nobody else wants." No. You know, even as we see Jesus' ministry, that kind of "follow me" is the one that wraps a towel around his waist and starts to wash the disciples' feet. That's holy hand-holding, right? And so this week, my wife modeled this so well, and our daughter Eden, who's nine, kind of picked up on it, because she was leading mini week, so 3 days of littler kids at Camp Manadokan, and we had some kids that may have tendency to kind of just come out in the middle of the night and just wander around. And so two staff members at Manadokan, were asked to sleep in the hallway. And so after that happened, Katie drug her mattress out, laid it down, and slept in the hallway too. Why? Did she have to? No. But it was that mentality of, if I'm going to ask them to do it, I have to be willing to do it too, right? It's not, you guys go do this thing. Man, that's why it's very clear that I married up, okay? It's because my wife does stuff like that. And she says, if they're willing to do it, then I have to be willing to do it too. And so as we come to this this question today, as we continue our series about how, you know, we hear this call of Jesus to follow me, follow me, follow me, share the same road. And so in this series, we've been asking these kind of foundational faith questions that are very practical about how do we go and do these things. And so our question today is, how do I follow Jesus? And our partner along this scriptural path, then, is a guy named Pete. Now, Pete's an ordinary guy. He's a fisherman. He's a blue-collar worker. There's nothing really special about Peter when we engage him. Maybe he was third, fourth, fifth child down because of the trade that he had and the way that the first century kind of shook out as far as birth order and things like that. He wasn't studying to be a priest. He wasn't going into the military. He probably wasn't inheriting his father's, you know, estate. And so he was a guy who was kind of just ordinary, who you could have overlooked, who was doing a trade that was really important. And, you know, we don't necessarily have fishermen in this area so much, but I almost think about it as, you know, Erin posted her flat Jesus picture at Second Chance's garage. I almost think about Peter as being one of those mechanics that's working, right? That are doing really important, critical things to keep life going. And maybe one of those that, like, if the fish don't come in, you only realize the importance of fishermen when the fish don't come in. If your car doesn't start, you only realize the importance of a mechanic when your car doesn't start, right? In the church world, in worship time, you only recognize when the visuals are so important, when the projector goes or something, or usually the pastor doesn't do something, and then all eyes go back to Chad going, what's going on here? You know, because there were these things and places in place. And so Peter was one of those guys. And so until one day when he was asked by this wandering rabbi to share the same road, Peter's mending his nets and making them ready for the catch. And what Jesus says is, come and follow me, Simon Peter. Actually, what we have is in Matthew 4, that's where we're going to start. If you want to open your Bibles, open your app, we're going to start with Matthew chapter 4 there. And it's this wonderful call because it's kind of this immediate response that he has to what Jesus is saying. So Matthew 4, we'll start with 18 or so. And I'll get it here in my paper Bible. Have you seen these before? They're kind of neat. They're tangible. Here we go. So right here. So Jesus was walking along the Galilee Sea and saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, throwing their nets into the sea because they were fishermen. Come and follow me, he said, and I will show you how to fish for people. And then the next line, it says, right away they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, they saw another set of brothers, and Jesus then calls them as well. And it says, immediately they left their boats and their father, because they were the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, man, I think Zebedee's probably Thor's last name. And immediately they left their father and followed him. And as we think about this, as we think about this call, what we recognize is that the first step to this discipleship and following Jesus is this kind of come and see of belonging. And for Peter, it was so important. I think for each and every one of us, it's so important that when we are invited to taste and see at the communion table, when we're invited to taste and see or check out or see what this church is doing over here or whatever else, there is this feeling of, I'm going to be me and see if I have a place in this place. Because I don't know how many people I've talked to that said, well, I tried this church out or I tried this thing out and didn't welcome me. They didn't want to have a part of me. And so Jesus comes and says, follow me, but not just kind of follow me half-hearted, right? It's follow me, leave your nets here, leave your boats here, leave your father here, follow me because I have a place where you're going to belong, but you have to be all in to taste and see, right? You have to be all in and give your whole heart and don't pretend to anything, because what I want you to know is that this belonging that you have, this discipleship that I'm calling you to, this following, sharing the same road, is that I want all of you, okay? It's not just halvesies. It's not we're starting out on the bunny slope. I remember when I was, I think in high school, I was taking a trip with some friends to King's Dominion, and I was not a roller coaster person, okay? Like, I probably had some traumatic experience at some carnival with, like, one of the carousels or something, so I didn't like roller coasters, okay? And my buddy said, you know what, I'm here for the roller coaster. So I said, all right, Dan, we're gonna go and we'll try it out. He's like, we're gonna start off slow. That was a lie. We're gonna start off slow. You can choose at any point that if you don't want to do it, we can just stand in line, you can cross over, it'll be fine. That was a lie. And this one is gonna be timid, it's gonna be fine, it's even indoors. Okay, fine, whatever. It was, yeah, okay, yeah, you guys know now, I didn't know. And so we were going, we're waiting in line, I see the signs that I can't be pregnant, which is cool, that I have to be about this tall to ride this ride, that I can't have eaten SpaghettiOs within 3 hours of riding this ride, like all of those things. If you're allergic to air, you can't go on this ride. I was like, okay, it's cool. This lady was asking this attendant, does this thing go upside down? And he goes, well, yeah, it does, ma'am. And I looked at my friend Dan, and I said, Dan, you didn't tell me about this. He goes, it'll be fine. If you don't want to, you can just get out. Okay, cool. And then she kept asking the attendant, and finally Dan, after like the third question, he's like, ma'am, can you please shut up? Okay, because it was like freaking me out. She's like, sir, does this go fast? And it was one of those that goes from like 0 to 125 million miles an hour in like 0.2 seconds, right? And I'm like, Dan, dude, this is not a beginner level thing, man. He's like, you're gonna be fine. And then I see, if you have seizures due to strobe lights, do not go on this ride because it's mostly in the dark, because it was in side. I looked at him and I go, you've set me up. And so we get there, and there's that way that you can just keep walking through the car if you don't want to go. Now, Dan's not a small guy. He's the executive chef for the Ravens. He's the executive chef for like all these sports teams. Man, and he's this big dude. He was a linebacker in high school. And so I was in front of Dan. Yep, was, okay? And then we start to step forward, and he gives me an elbow and gets in front of me and plops down in his seat. And I go, but, he goes, oh, you can't go now. Oh, man, right? And so then I buckle in, click, 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 you know, and it's there. And then there's the whole countdown, and we were off. And it was amazing. It was amazing, right? Because there was all this lead up and all this anxiety, and Dan knew that if I got him on this one, we are game for the rest of the park. And that's what Jesus is doing with Peter. He's saying, take everything that you have. And it sounds harsh because sometimes Jesus calls these disciples and he says, I have this place where you belong, but you need to follow me now. And they say, can we bury our friends? And he says, no, because it took weeks to do that. Says, because you can't be half in with this discipleship thing. You are locked in, ready to go, and the countdown is happening, and you need to embrace it. Because I know that this is the place where you belong. And so what Peter finds is that this step of discipleship is more than just trotting along with Jesus, but it is sharing this wholeheartedness with Jesus. And it's amazing, and Peter's one of my favorite because I throw so much shade at Peter because he seems so dumb sometimes. But then again, I think that I have an affinity because I think that if I were a disciple with Jesus, I would hope to be Peter, right? Because then we go to this second step, so we see that Peter has these questions of belonging, and Jesus says, come, and I have this place where you're going to belong, and following me means that you're going to have this place where you belong, and you're going to expand this kingdom, you're going to participate in what God is literally doing in the flesh of what God is up to. And so we skip ahead to chapter 14, okay? And there's this wonderful story about the disciples. They go out on this boat, and early in the morning, there's this haze that comes over. And if you've ever been at the waterfront, when it's early morning and that beautiful haze comes up, it's magnificent. And all of a sudden, they look out, and they see something that looks like a ghost, because everything looks like a ghost in that fog, right? And so he's starting to come forward, and ghosts, or people don't walk on water unless you're my little Jesus that's doing the thing when we shared. And so what happens is that in Matthew 14, chapter 14, verses 27 through 29-ish is exactly where we're going to be. So we'll start with the very beginning. It said, right then, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. Then, when he sent them away, he woke up into the mountain himself to pray. So Jesus finds some time outside of himself because Jesus was not fully an extrovert, but like me, needed some time just to kind of pray and take a breath, right? And so then it says, fighting the strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened that they screamed, "Ah!" Right? Sounds like when you die on a Mario game. And then just then, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be encouraged, it's me, don't be afraid." And Peter replied, "This is the best," right? I belong, Peter knows now. He has seen what Jesus has been doing. And Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come out to you on the water." And what's Jesus says? Jesus say, "Come on out, man." And what happens? What happens? Yeah, but like for a moment it works. And so Peter starts to get out of his boat. Ordinary Peter, Peter who has this blue collar job, who everyone would have ignored, who wouldn't have known that he was there except if the fish didn't come in. Peter who now belongs to this tribe enough to say, "Hey, Jesus, if it's you, call me onto the water." Because what we recognize is that the second part is that there is this behavior and this action that happens when we follow Jesus. And so then he steps onto that water and it doesn't give way. And he takes a second step and it doesn't give way. And then he takes a third step and like the coyote in the cartoons looks down and he's really wet. Right, but he had that belief enough to have that right action. There is this belonging that we have, and then there's the second piece of belief or this behavior that moves us from kind of this, I'm following and seeing what Jesus says, to I'm going to try this out, and I actually walked on water. Can any of the other disciples say that they walked on water? No, man. Peter misses it, but he gets it so right. And then he starts to sink, and it says he cries out to Jesus, and immediately, it's not Jesus waited for there to be bubbles, because that would have been me. Nah, he'll be fine. Right? Immediately, Jesus took his hand and got him back into the boat. But there was this behavior that happens. That's the time when you go on a mission trip and you ask why these churches do these things, or there's a work camp that's happening in Frederick in a couple of weeks, or actually this week, and it's, you know, the questions of why do you do this? It's just what we do. That's just what my church does. It's just how we live into our faith. I might not understand all of it, but that's what we do. We serve people. We love people. We bring them into the fold. And Peter is learning this firsthand. This is John Wesley when he was, you know, feeling like a failure after he went to Georgia, trying to be this mighty missionary. And he was run out of town because he tried to excommunicate a girl that he really, really loved. And his dad didn't really like it. That didn't go over too big with his church when he said, "You can't have communion because I know that you have been making out with other guys." It's a little bit awkward, right? And so he gets chased out of Georgia, and he's on this boat, and he says, "Man, I just don't know what I'm going to do." And this guy, Peter Bowler, comes up, and he says, "Listen, John, you preach faith until you have it. And then when you have it, you preach faith." Essentially, what he's saying is that there is a benefit in doing the right things and preaching the right things, even in the face of doubt, because that's the way we get closer to God. We don't just stop and sit down at a rest stop somewhere when we're trying to follow and share that road with Jesus. We continue on, because in the wrestling, in the knocking, in the seeking, that's where we get closer. In the right belief, in the right practice, in the right behavior, we pray, we serve. We read our Bibles. We are part of that ministry magic that happens so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. And all framed in that. How do you think Peter felt after he sunk? Scared, dejected. Man, I don't have enough faith. If I would have prayed harder, what did you say, Barry? Wet? Yep, there we go. Good. I knew somebody would get one of those, right? But we have these ideas, and Peter gets into the boat, and I'm sure that there's a point where he goes, "Man, I messed up. Jesus, am I still part of the team?" And what's Jesus' response? "Yeah, man, We got more work to do. And so later on then, a little bit later on, like two chapters later, then they're talking about the way that you know, people are talking about Jesus. There's this clamor about Jesus. And so Peter, this guy that recognizes that he belongs and now gets the right action and knows how to behave as a Christian, then sometimes, you know, comes into it and Jesus is hearing all these things. And what are they saying about me? Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? And now there's this thing that starts to click for Peter. And there's this switch that starts to flip. And there's this way that now he's gone from belonging to behaving to then believing like a follower of Jesus. And he says this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boom, nailed it, right? And Jesus right after that says, exactly, you, Peter, Petros, Rock, are going to be the one that I build my church on. And in fact, though, we think about this word Petros or Peter or rock as this big, mighty kind of piece of slab of granite, like something out of, you know, from Maine or something like that. And in fact, Petros means this little tiny pebble, which is so awesome, right? But even with that size of a mustard seed, even with that little pebble, that the church can be built on this foundation that lasts. And so what we see is that Peter now all of a sudden kind of has this, I believe part one, this intellectual, you are the Son of God. And then just right in that same breath, Jesus says, now I'm going to have to go, and I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem, and some pretty, pretty gnarly stuff's going to go down. And Peter goes, well, wait a minute. We can still share the same road, but maybe we just go this way instead of this way, right? And what does Jesus say? The best is, you're going to be the one that I build my church on. And then just a few verses later, it's, get behind me, Satan, right? And so that's kind of the way that we have it. We have this mental understanding. Our brains understand it, and Peter gets it. And it's almost like a wedding, during a wedding, that the couple makes these vows, and they understand with their heads what marriage means, and they have this romanticized understanding. And so, John and Katie, you guys, right? You guys are going to say those vows, and you're going to do it, but there's going to be something about it that you don't really fully know. You can prepare. You can understand, like, in your head, but until you live it, there are going to be moments where you're just going to miss the mark. But does Peter still belong? Yeah. And so then we go to the very, very end then, and we skip to the Gospel of John, where Charity read for us. And so they're having breakfast with Jesus after the resurrection, and Jesus pulls Peter aside, and he says, hey, do you love me? It's kind of a weird thing to say, you know. Now Peter understands the cost of commitment. Peter understands what's happening. Peter understands what's going on. And this is almost like that method or that way in which it goes from the belief right here and it moves down 18 inches to a belief in his heart. All of a sudden, he's seen what that commitment and that covenant means on the cross. All of a sudden, he knows what it is to deny Jesus while Jesus chooses the cross, chooses love, chooses grace. And then, you know, Jesus goes, but Peter, do you love me? And what's Peter's response? Yeah. You know, and I think the gospel cleans it up a little bit, but I think that this is where the rubber meets the road for us. I think this is why it's important for us to kind of have this how question, how do we follow Jesus? And we recognize that each step along the way is so important, that wherever you are in this whole thing, if you're exploring God and you're at that kind of come and see, do I belong here piece, fantastic. If you're with the, I'm kind of behaving, I'm doing the things that I think that the Christians, the followers of Jesus could do, awesome. If you're the, man, I could write a term paper about who Jesus is, but putting it into practice is a little bit harder. Great, right? Because we all go through those, and it's not this kind of straight line. We go back and forth and all that jazz. But I think that here, you know, think about the things that you have that hang over your life. Think about the things that cause you anxiety. Think about the things. I had a text message from one of my former youth just the other day that she said, man, I'm on vacation. I feel useless. I feel worthless. Ugh, right? And it breaks my heart. She's asking, where do I belong? And she has this amazing ministry that's going to happen, you know, in a few years for her. I am positive of that. But essentially what she's doing is that she's waiting, or she's hearing Jesus say, you know, do you love me? Peter's, you know, Jesus saying to Peter, do you love me? You know, Jesus saying to each and every one of us, do you love me? And our first response is, yeah, Jesus, I love you, but you know, remember that time when I denied you just a few days ago? Remember that time when I struggled with my self-worth? Remember that time when I wasn't good enough? Remember that time when I did that thing? And Jesus is saying, you know, for Peter, it's, you know, do you love me? Yeah, but I turned my, no, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, but you could never, no, Peter, do you love me? And it starts to sink in, and there's a little bit of quiet, right? There's a little bit of weight in that silence. Like you could cut it with a knife. And he goes, well, absolutely, you know it. You know that I do. And then Jesus' final words, you know, whatever that excuse is for you, whatever that stumbling block is, whatever that hurdle is for you to say, yes, Jesus, I love you, and just cut out the buts, right? Whatever that is, yes, Jesus, but you don't know my past. Jesus knows your past. Yeah, but Jesus, you don't know what I'm struggling with. Yes, God knows what you're struggling with. But God, I, you know, you don't know what my anxiety is about my future. Yeah, but my spirit will guide you. And so Jesus takes away all of those excuses and then just says, hey, do you love me? Then follow me. Share the road with me. It's going to look different now because I'm not here anymore. But you know that you have people that you belong with and that love you. You know the ways that I have taught you, even if you are just trying this thing out. Man, pray. Read your Bible. Surround yourself with people who are recognizing that beautiful worth inside of you. And we'll together go from this belief in our head to the belief in our heart. And man, when that happens, lives change. Worlds change. All of creation changes because you've partnered with me to share the road. So this week, will you share the road with Jesus? Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for the ways that you are working, moving, acting, and grooving in our lives, that we want to be humming with your spirit, God, that we want to be in tune with what you've got going on, because no matter what, we are always going to have our doubts. We are always going to have our fears, but we know that that refrain that you call us to, do you love me? There's only one answer that matters. And no matter the but or the excuse or the anything else that comes after that, the question still remains, do you love me? No matter how many times we deny, do you love me? Well, then follow me. Follow me this week. And so our response, God, through your Holy Spirit, is a resounding let it be as we say amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.